In today's epistle, St. Paul writes, "For you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll talk today about the dangers of communism. In the Joe Biden America, that is an important subject. Do you realize that the young adults, those who voted for the first time this past November, they don't have any personal remembrances, even from the 9/11 terrorist attack, still less about communism? So when we warn our young people about communism, as we should take into consideration that they might have no idea what we're talking about. I myself grew up right next to the big red empire of communism called the Soviet Union. That was the former Tsarist Russia, which in 1917 was changed in a red revolution to the first communist state in history. In that same year, Our Lady appeared at Fatima and said that Russia will continue to spread her errors, that wars and persecutions would be rampant, various nations would be annihilated, and good people would be martyred. The communist rule in Russia lasted until 1991, at which point several member states of this union had started to rebel against the Red Tyranny. In that year, the communists declared a state of emergency so that they could stay in power and called the tanks and army to the streets to keep order. But the people, on their own initiative, they organized to take resistance. On the day of the takeover attempt, the citizens of Moscow began to gather around the government building. Boris Yeltsin, the president of Russia, famously stood on the top of a tank, telling people to resist the tyrants and defend the buildings. Funny, no one in the world seemed to think that people occupying a government building was wrong at that time. I remember watching these events from TV with my mother, and when we saw the tanks rolling on the city of Moscow, she commented, "I sure hope those tanks stay on that side of the border." She, of course, knew what she was talking about. My parents grew up in a society where the threat of communist takeover was still acute. After the Second World War, the communists were determined to seize the power in Finland. But because of the powerful opposition by the people and army, they failed. So they changed their tactics from an open revolution to more subtle taking over by working inside the system. After the 40s, communists didn't partake elections anymore on their own ticket, but formed a bloc party called the Democratic Union of the Finnish People. Finnish communists now sought to become a part of the bourgeois society, to change it from the inside. They even forbade their supporters to use the hammer and sickle symbol because that was too much associated with the Soviet Union. The communists became, as said, acceptable for polite society. They gained power in the unions and especially in the education, or more like the corruption of school children. My mother, when she was in high school, said in her Finnish language class that she supported an anti-communist candidate in the presidential election. And so in the next report card, her Finnish grade changed from an A into D. This policy, calling good bad and bad good, happened also in the church revolution. After the war in America, there was the wonderful church-approved organization called the Blue Army of Fatima. Through leaflets and lectures, it spread the message of Fatima, talked about Catholic standards in modesty of dress and avoidance of bad entertainment, and urged to pray for the conversion of Russia, so to stop the spread of the errors of communism in the world. But in the 1960s, all that stopped, and the Blue Army adopted a new slogan, which went, the new era of peace. That's when the first traditional Catholics in America, they left the Blue Army to form their own Fatima cells. This should tell you that if the communists cannot gain power through revolution, they are perfectly capable of masquerading themselves as supporters of democracy and peace, even Christianity, but calling good evil and evil good. What then is communism? In the late 1800s, Pope Leo XIII defined communism as the fatal plague which insinuates itself into the very marrow of human society, only to bring about its ruin. Further church proclamations said that communism is not merely a movement subversive to the faith. After all, there are many movements against the faith, for example, Protestantism. But communism means total and complete apostasy from the Catholic faith. For communism means materialism and denial of God. It is against both the natural order and the supernatural order. Usually people think that communism means the abandonment of private property, but that is only a part of their doctrine. In their system, state is everything, individual is nothing, family is nothing, and God does not exist. That's communism in a nutshell. So that's the reason why we say that after the new government inauguration, communism has taken over in this country. The people now in power, they have abolished morality, family, and individual liberty. This revolution has not arrived waving a red flag, but under the banner of an all-powerful state. Their tactics, though more subtle than in the Russian Revolution, it follows the pattern of the abandonment of a traditional society. One of its banners has been the attempt to defund, disarm, and dissolve police. All this has been tried before. One of the first things what the revolutionaries did in Russia after the 1917 coup was to abolish the police and establish militia. This new force was not under law, but under the party and its policy, whatever that was in a given day. There's an old Soviet joke that in perfect communism, there will be no police. People will know how to self-arrest themselves. And that's what we are heading now, a self-policing state. That people go along with this is a result of the vicious propaganda channeled by the mainstream media. This propaganda, it's extremely dangerous to the people of goodwill because it's mostly subconscious. That means that most of the time viewers don't even realize they are being brainwashed. And the communist brainwashing in this country has resulted to our current day, where state now has complete dominion over an average person. A person in Biden America is no more a citizen, whose rights are protected by the Constitution and by the law. A person is not even a servant, because at least a servant works voluntarily, is paid for his work and protected by his employer. But in a totalitarian state, a person is nothing but a slave. And that is the reason why we say that communists have taken over, because an American man has been made a slave of the state. He has no free will anymore. If the TV tells a person to wear a mask, he wears a mask, even if he's perfectly healthy himself. After all, the TV says that anyone who is so selfish that he refuses to wear a mask is guilty of at least a triple genocide. No courtroom, prosecutor, or jury needed. Furthermore, if the TV tells him to take the vaccine, he obediently rolls up his sleeve. Because who cares if he knows nothing about the background of this liquid which is injected inside his body and inside his children? The TV guaranteed it's safe. Then, if the TV or a governor tells him to close down his business or to turn away customers who dare not to wear a mask, he obeys, even if it would end him into financial ruin. And if the TV tells him not to go to watch sports, to take a walk outside, to visit his family, or go to church for that matter, he obediently barricades himself inside his home. Is this freedom? Isn't this slavery into its extreme? A society where anarchy and violence rule the streets, people in power tell the citizens what to think, and all are terrified and lock themselves inside their homes when the command comes. This slavery destroys not only the liberty of our bodies, but our free will as well. Under this government, people are not citizens, not even servants. They are nothing but slaves, fulfilling any command the TV tells them and throwing their liberty and freedom away. In these trying times, it is not enough for a Catholic to be for the truth. He must also stand against error. A soul in sanctifying grace, it is admired by the angels, but only when he stands against error, he is feared by the devils. On Friday, we had the feast of Saint Agatha. She was a heroic 15-year-old Sicilian girl who suffered martyrdom under the cruel emperor Decius. The imperial governor shut her to prison and tried to make her an apostate by appealing to her noble background. He asked why such a girl from an upper class had lowered herself to the level of lowlifes as Christians. And Agatha said, "Even though I am a noble, I am a slave of Jesus Christ." So, do we become slaves of the state or slaves of Jesus Christ? Even if we would successfully resist the tyrants of the world, unless our souls have been made holy in sanctifying grace, we are slaves. The first conspiracy in the world was that of the devil when he lied and said to Eve, "God doth know that in what day soever you shall eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." That was and is also the most successful conspiracy in history, for that scheme of the devil enslaves souls which are created by God. Only thing what can save us from an eternal death is He who is our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. No state, no governor, and no president can ever bring us salvation. If anyone has not his immortal soul in the state of sanctifying grace, if he neglects prayer, if he neglects the sacraments, if he does not submit to God and his commandments, he is a slave of the devil. But if he does submit to the sweet yoke of Jesus Christ, he is free, even if he'd be in chains. In today's passage from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, the longest epistle of the entire ecclesiastical year, Paul refutes the claims of the Christians who proud in their observance of the law. He recaptures everything he suffered to set the people free from the world into the liberty of Christ. And he reproaches those who have again made themselves slaves of the world. God forbid we ever submit to this slavery, whether it comes from the state or from the total destroyer of souls. As it says in the introit, "Arise, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, and cast us not off to the end. Why turnest thou thy face away, and forgettest our trouble? Arise, O Lord, help us and deliver us." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.